So as I said at the beginning of the service, today is the second Sunday of Advent. This is the season, church season. It's not like fall or winter or spring, but it's we kind of divide up the calendar year to help us think through the story of God. And Advent is the season of waiting, of expectant hope, and it kind of has a double layer to it. It is a season of where we kind of reenact the waiting of the people in Bible times for the coming of the Messiah. And so it looks forward to Christmas and the birth of Christ. But also for us living after Christ, it is a period of waiting for what God has yet to do. The full realization of God's kingdom, our life with God forever, the return of Christ, all those things we wait with hope. And if you look at Jesus' teaching, he has a number of parables on living, you know, ready. Not dozing off or losing focus, but ready for God to act. So we're trying to tap into a little bit of that this time around again. And I chose Simeon, and we'll get to Anna as well, because they live life that way. They believed in God and trusted God. They knew the scriptures. They knew that God was faithful and that God had things to do in this world, and they lived their life, as Simeon is described, righteous and devout, waiting for what God was going to do. And when it came right in front of them, they saw it, recognized it, and responded in faith. So today, last week we looked at the who Simeon understood Jesus to be. We talked about the consolation or the comfort of Israel, and we looked at Isaiah's language about that, that the Messiah would be both the Savior and the Consoler, the Comforter of Israel. This week, I want to focus in on Simeon's prayer, right? So God had revealed to him he wouldn't die before he saw the Christ, the Messiah, and he saw the Holy Family and the baby, and he realized this is the Christ. And then he prayed this prayer that I read to you. It's Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation. I want to look at his prayer and what that tells us about God's salvation, about what that is, and today particularly the scope of God's salvation. So if I asked you, and I won't collar you or put you on camera or anything, but if I asked you what salvation means, just think to yourself for a moment how you might answer that question. What does salvation mean from God, the creator of the universe? What does salvation mean? You might come up with words like rescue or deliverance. You might, anytime I ask the children, and I'm delighted they know the answer to this, they'll say something along the lines of Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And that is God's salvation from the consequences of sin. They don't say that part. I'm thinking that in my head. But usually I'll hear words about Jesus on the cross forgiving my sins as God's salvation. And that is absolutely true. And don't let anything that we talk about this morning take away from that. That is front and center what salvation is. And I like to think about that as God's love and salvation being deep. And we often think in individual terms, right? I have trusted in God for salvation. Jesus saved me. God has redeemed my life. And there's lots of I and me to that, and rightly so, because it's a personal experience, right? It goes deep. It shapes our life and affects who we are and the decisions we make and that sort of thing. All of that is absolutely true. It is also true that God's love and salvation are wide. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about the breadth of God's salvation. And that's what Simeon describes in his prayer. There are plenty of verses that talk about how deep God's love is. Like John 3:16, how much God loved the world, right? And I won't preach a whole other sermon, but one of the things, the deep aspects of God's salvation that is most dear to me is that no matter how much I have messed up, no matter how great my sin or your sin is, there is no sin that is bigger than God's forgiveness. And that's how deep God's love for each of us goes. And that is life-changing if you can grasp that and understand it and receive it for yourself. absolutely true, and verses upon verses in God's story about that. But this morning, I want to talk about how wide God's love and God's salvation are. So there are three phrases. We're going to zero in on the prayer, verses 31 through 32. Three phrases I want to talk through with you, and they're up on the screen, and a little kind of playful depiction of the breadth of God's love for the world. The first thing that Simeon prays, he says, "I've seen your salvation." So we know that's what he's talking about. It's God's salvation. And he said it because he's seen the baby Jesus in front of him. "I've seen your salvation. It's in this child, this one." Then he says three things about God's salvation. First, it was prepared in the presence of all peoples. Prepared in the presence of all peoples. My mind goes back to the very beginning of the story, to Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed, when they turned away from God, and they hid in the garden, and God found them and called them to account and pronounced the consequences of their sin. We call that the fall because it affected, it touched all of humanity after them. But even in the midst of God pronouncing the consequences, he describes how the descendant of Eve, the descendant of the woman, would crush the head of the serpent, crush the head of evil and sin personified. It was the beginning of God's promise that though we had turned away, God would not turn away. I say this every time we come to the table, but God would pursue us in love. God prepared this salvation from the beginning of the world for the world. We've talked, I feel like I've talked about it a lot in the last few months, about God's covenants, his promises throughout the Old Testament. He makes a covenant with Abraham to be his God, and Abraham and his children would be his people. And God would give him many descendants and give him land. But the third great covenant promise was to bless him, and through him and his descendants to bless all peoples, all the nations of the world. God prepared this salvation, this covenant promise, this expression of his love and his rescue for Abraham and his children and for all peoples, the nations of the world. And God renewed that with King David. And as you get into the prophets, spoke about the nations again and again. Always first would speak to his people Israel, but would always hold up in those same sentences, the nations, the peoples of the world. That's how wide, how broad God's salvation is. It is prepared for the world. Simeon goes on to pray about this salvation, that it is, and he will be, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, right, God is yet to be revealed to the non-Jewish world. God speaks of blessing, but his revelation, his law and his promises and his messages through the prophets, his revelation were to his people, to Abraham and his descendants. And so for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, God was yet still to be revealed, shown for who he was. That was part of the promise that was still far off. And Simeon recognizes that. He says, "I've seen your salvation." Now he will be the light of revelation to the non-Jewish world, to the Gentiles. It's the same reason, well, back in our first scripture reading, Isaiah talks about the coming of the light into the darkness. This is going to be the promised Messiah. And he says, the world is in darkness, but nations will come to your light. Right? Isaiah foretold it. Simeon recognized it. And we're living it. The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." But then he talks about the light. This one that John is writing about, the one he followed, Jesus, was the Word and was the light. Revelation to the Gentiles. And then thirdly, this salvation that Simeon is looking at is the glory of God's people, Israel. Again, God had already revealed himself to his people, to Israel, to Abraham's descendants, through the law, through angelic messages, through the promises spoken to people like Eve and Abraham and David. So this wasn't new news. It was God's promises being kept. And Israel's glory in the appearing of God's anointed one is also God's glory. So Simeon is identifying, you know, in this very short prayer, just how wide God's love and salvation are, that it is revelation to those who have not yet heard, and it is God's glory made manifest to those who have God's revelation, his people, Israel. Well, we're told that Simeon was righteous and devout. We talked about this last week, that he knew the scriptures, he followed the scriptures, he used Isaiah's imagery in his prayer and being able to even recognize the Messiah. We knew that he experienced God, he experienced the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. He knew deep. He knew how deep God's salvation was because he lived it. He experienced it. God led him into their presence. God spoke to him. But he also understood how wide, how broad God's love was. And so he could die in peace. He said, I've seen your salvation for the world. According to the word that you have spoken, your servant can depart in peace. This is, to me, from Simeon, this is both a meaningful testimony. It's his story, right? Simeon's testimony and story. So it's meaningful to me, but it also challenges me. And Clay, could you go to the next slide for me? It is a challenge for me, and I have and I cherish a personal experience of salvation of God. It's a challenge to me to not just think about myself, what God has done for me, how much God loves me, and all that is true, but also to recognize how wide God's love is. The personal aspect is vital to being a disciple, to living out faith. But the breadth is essential to the mission and God's purpose for us in this world. Why is that? It's because the breadth of God's love is the root of who we are in the world. Right? And if you look at Jesus' teaching, it's all anchored in that broad description of God's salvation. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and who will be a part of the kingdom of God, it's broad and wide. When he talks about loving our neighbor, he's not just talking about his Jewish neighbor, but he's talking about his Samaritan neighbors, about his Gentile neighbors. Faith is not just me and Jesus. It is also for the world. It's public. And I have heard and I understand the idea that my faith is a private thing, right? I don't want to talk about it. It's personal, and it is personal, but it's not designed to be hidden away. In fact, I love it when I think of lots of words and then it all boils down to a children's song. But almost every week in preschool chapel, Melissa and I sit in here and tell Bible stories. And one of the kids' favorite songs, this is 3 and 4 year olds, and you know it, is This Little Light of Mine. Right? Remember, Jesus is the light of the world. And they all hold up their candles. And we say, This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? It's talking about salvation. I mean, they don't grasp all of that yet, but they will. They'll remember the song when they get older. And the light, and it's Jesus. The second verse is just this thing. We don't take it and hide it to ourselves, right? You may have learned it, those of you older than I am. We don't hide it under a bushel. We have translated that into a basket so that people would know. But you don't hide it away, right? It's not, salvation is not meant to be personal like that. And the kids enthusiastically shout, no, we don't do that, right? We let it shine. And it's the third verse that captures this church for the world, this breadth of God's salvation. We sing, everywhere I go. If we're going to be absolutely correct, we should sing, everywhere we go. But right, the idea is that this salvation, God's salvation, is not only deep for me, but it's wide for the world. And if I belong to God, and if I follow God, that's where my heart goes, right? Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. So when Simeon says God has prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples, we're a part of that, and we are to be in and with and among all peoples as little lights in the world. Another, I'm thinking of, in Sunday school, we were talking about things that people appreciate about leaders and teachers. And one of the students said they appreciate when the adult is concise. So I'm taking that to heart. But I also think about last week, and I praised them for it then, when Pratt and Ashley were here, you know, they told their story, but it all boiled down to the simple question is, where am I right now, and where is God? And I think that boils down to what this prayer of Simeon and these scriptures are getting at, is to ask ourselves, where am I right now? Where am I with God? Do I have that personal relationship and knowledge of salvation? But also, where is God? What is God doing? And the testimony of the Bible over and over again is God is out in the world, right? Revealing himself, rescuing those who live in darkness. And if I belong to God, and I do, and you do, we're to be a part of that. And that I found that question of theirs so helpful in kind of checking in and saying, am I doing the thing that I believe I should do? Where am I right now? Where is God? Am I lined up with what God is doing? So I challenge you, before you go to sleep tonight, and maybe every night, either ask the we'll call it the Pratt and Ashley question, the biblical question, ask yourself as you go to sleep and maybe say a short prayer, where am I right now in life, in the world? What's going on with me? Where am I and where is God? Or if you like, sing the song to yourself, or just say the words, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Am I going to hide it away, kept private? No. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. I think any of these challenges to, you know, the Christmas challenge or the prayer before bed, if we can weave them into our life, it begins to shape us. And just like you know, exercise or mental exercises or whatever you may do. If we do something again and again, not only is it a helpful habit, but it builds spiritual muscles and good pathways in our life. And so today, from Simeon, I would challenge you to ask that question or sing that song. In the name of Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, amen.